Welcome back to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." Today, we conclude our series with a closer look at the song, "It Is Well." We end our service with baptisms, which I would highly encourage you to check out on our church YouTube page. All right, here's Pastor Nathan with the final part of Songs of Faith.
We started with Amazing Grace. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'll fly away. And today, it is well with my soul. So I was thinking, several years ago, one of my very, very dear favorite first cousins, a woman of deep, deep faith, she lost her 10-year-old All-American boy tragically to an aggressive and vicious form of cancer. He was a precious child that seemingly had everything going for him and everything to live for. Everyone loved him, but in a few short months, his life was gone. During these slow motion, suffocating times of grieving this huge, huge loss, she told my wife and I, Dixie, that old gospel songs and hymns like the ones we've been talking about and today became a primary comfort and peace source for her. In fact, she said, "That's all I can listen to." I've been thinking from my heart, good music really touches my heart. It's a positive addition to all the days that make up the seasons of life. Would you agree? I mean, what would happen if we just removed music from our world? Wouldn't that be awful? This includes the best to the most difficult days and all points in between. And that's where we all are today, somewhere between those two points. And this especially is true when biblical truth and beautiful notes and lyrics merge. Through the years, quite often, I don't know about you, but I found that God moves in close to us using the wonderful gift of music as wings for worship. Anybody identify with that? In my life, I've repeatedly had an unmistakable sense of His presence while engaging with songs of faith. He uses music as a tool to capture our attention and to capture our hearts. So today is the final message of this four-week series. I love music. It stirs my heart deeply. It touches my soul. As we've discovered in recent messages, it's even more powerful when there's a compelling faith story behind the song. So here's another one. "It Is Well." Horatio Spafford wrote this song of faith in the darkness night of his soul. At one point in his life, he was a successful attorney in Chicago and had invested in significant real estate there. I mean, he had a solid marriage. It just seemed like everything was just smooth sailing. He had one son at that point and four daughters. His son contracted a pneumonia and died at a young age, and their grief was beyond words, profound. A year later, his real estate investments were destroyed and lost in the Great Chicago Fire that happened in October of 1871. If you know history, you remember. Still reeling from the loss of their son and the financial ruin accompanying the fire, they decided to get away on a European vacation. So they planned a trip with their daughters. Shortly before they were to leave, Horatio had to attend some urgent business matters at his law firm that forced him to change his travel plans. He sent his wife and daughters ahead with the promise of catching the next ship and sailing 2 days behind them. They boarded the ship and sailed for Europe. Tragically, their ship was struck by another vessel and literally sank within 12 minutes. His wife was plucked from the water from a piece of wreckage she had been clinging to. But the tragedy was that all four of their daughters drowned. When their ship reached port, Anna, the wife, sent a message to Horatio that read simply, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Horatio, shortly, as quick as he could, boarded the first available ship destined for her location. And while sailing, the captain of that ship, knowing the situation, called Horatio to the bow as they approached the general area where that ship had gone down and his daughters had been lost. In that vicinity, in the face of devastating loss, Horatio penned the words to this well-known, greatly loved, and often sung song of faith. "It is well with my soul." Anybody ever heard that song before? What a powerful testimony. So as Nate leads us and they sing a bit, would you just join in? And the focus today that I want to get to that'll connect with baptism in a little while is, how in the world can we sing and say, "It is well with my soul"? How many of you know that's not circumstantial? That's inside out, all season, all weather kind of joy that can only come one way, and that's a relationship with Almighty God. Yes? So, Nate, would you lead it when you guys sing? Sorry if I sent you out early. It's okay. Here we are.
When peace, come on, like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast.
Thank you, team. Thank you, team. How in the world could a human enduring such pain and loss, acute pain, unspeakable pain, write such a song? Have you thought about that? Andre used to say, how can you have a song when everything is going wrong? Well, Psalm 34:18 speaks to it and speaks to us through the generations. Here it is. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Not just you, but those you love. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I guess we could safely say this. I believe it's true that hurting and suffering just seems to attract the Lord's attention. I know he's always present. That's the difference maker. His presence is everything. Not just around us, but we can have his presence in us through relationship. That's what I'm talking about. That's what he was talking about. So where are you today? I have no idea. People within the sound of my voice, in this room, those online today. Maybe you're in a marriage you thought would go the distance and it's crumbling at your feet and all but lost. I don't know. You might have experienced or are facing the painful, painful loss of a loved one. We've experienced that as a congregation so many times throughout the last year or two. Maybe there's an addiction that just has a stranglehold on you and seems to be taking you down, a chokehold. You may be facing financial setbacks and you've been worried and scared. Or maybe you have children or grand that have walked away from God in arrogant rebellion. And they're making horrible life choices and you're just carrying a crushing burden today. I could go on and on, and don't think you're not included because I didn't include you on this list, because the Lord is close to all. It's his presence that makes the difference. Whatever your situation, I want to tell you, based on the truth of God's word, that he is present. The Lord is close and he is mighty to save. He may not save you and I the way we think he could or should, but I want to tell you, he is in the saving, rescuing business. And that has not only temporal, but it has eternal ramifications. We're talking about eternity forever. So I would say that you can be acutely lonely today, but I would tell you that you're not alone. Let this truth pierce our heads and our hearts and our spirits. My wife and I used to sing together in our younger days a good bit, and we would sing a medley of songs about loneliness and all that in God's presence. And I was just thinking of a phrase or two. I'm not alone while walking down life's pathway. I have a friend who walks along with me. I'm not alone, although I'm often lonely. My Lord divine is by me constantly. And we link that with, I'll never be lonely again, never again, for I have opened my heart's door to him. That's the key to his presence. It's not just believing there is a God, but believing in the God who rescues and saves and transforms. I tried to get this across last week when I talked about the second coming, that and I'll Fly Away, that song, that let's not bend our backs away from the Lord and move away from a good, good God that he is. Instead, let's lean in. Faith causes us to lean away, but the fear causes us to lean back and lean away, but faith causes us to lean in. Don't stop leaning in. So a couple of wonderful authors of days gone by, Oswald Chambers, he wrote, any great calamity in the natural world, death, disease, bereavement, will awaken a man when nothing else would, and he is never the same again. We would never know the treasures of darkness if we were always in the place of placid serenity. I just earlier this morning talked to our friend Scott Johnson, that this time last year seemed to be as healthy as a horse, and now he's on the heart transplant list. That totally blindsided him. But he told me basically this morning, he said, man, has this ever changed my perspective about the preciousness of life? Huh? A wake-up call. I told you, Scott, I'd give you a wave. I'm doing it right now. Listen, you may be in a very dark time and it's so difficult, but it's not necessarily bad when it's leading you toward the light of the presence of Jesus. It's really a treasure when you understand that Jesus is close to the brokenhearted and he rescues, he specializes in rescuing the burden. That he's attracted to all of us who qualify as such. And we've all been there at one time or another, have we not? We have been, we are, or we will be. I love this quote by great theologian, timeless C.S. Lewis. Here's what he writes from experience. Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Powerful. The light dawns with this truth and transcends your understanding with a peace that impacts and pierces heart and soul. It becomes a treasure in the middle of pain and darkness. Rick Warren likes to say, and they tragically lost one of their sons to a suicide some years back, and crushing blow. But you know, just summarizing what he said, my own spin on it, that's usually when we get found by God's grace, in the middle of acute pain and or change. Agreed? That's when you'd think that those things would push us away from God, and it happens. Sometimes we get bitter, but more times than not, I've seen God reveal himself in a way that people would never understand had they not gone through the valley of the shadow of death or the great pain or struggle of some sort. Here's another good one, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. But verse 4 says this, even when, and my translation doesn't say if, it says even when I walk through the darkest valley, whatever that valley may be today, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. I want to tell you, look at me. It makes a difference no matter what you're going through when you know you're not alone. It doesn't change the pain. It just helps us get through it. I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and staff protect and comfort me. Those are encouraging words today. Some of you just need to be waving your hand and go, yep, that means I agree. That's me. Yep. You're afraid to raise your hand in church because somebody might call on you. No, that's school. That's not church. Consider this, please. When you walk through something dark, scary, and or difficult with someone who loves you, you're not alone. Agreed? Humanly speaking, you're drawn closer. I've told you before when my mom was tragically killed on Route 30 at 30 and 89 when I was in college, instantly in a car accident. I'll still remember, I recounted the story with an old friend yesterday at the car show. My friend made his way up in the near dark, up through the side door by the garage, up the stairs to landing, upstairs again, glass louvers, have you seen that crank open? And we'd just gotten home after a long day, finding my mom and dad were in a horrible accident. I heard a knocking on that door. My friend Carl Noby, probably 15 years older than me, but a dear, dear friend, at least maybe 20. And he stood there in the semi-darkness, the tears streaming down his face, and he said, I am so, so sorry. Then he just turned around and went home. And here I am at 66 talking about something that happened in my early 20s, and I still remember because his presence was so comforting. Okay, so I want us to learn from that because we often don't bring our presence to bear because we don't know what to say. Don't say anything. Just be there. Why is it that sometimes we understand that humanly, but we expect God to always say something? Why can't we just know that he's there and his presence makes all the difference? Huh? Just a thought. Psalm 23, read it. Let me read 73:28 of Psalms. But as for me, I like this. I get as close to him as I can. I have chosen him. I will tell everyone about the wonderful ways he rescues me. That sounds like a testimony to me. What are the testimonies that move hearts? It's the story of God's faithfulness in the dark places moving us toward the light. Agreed? You don't want to hear somebody say, hey, I've got our life together. I've never had any struggles. I mean, their credibility is about zero to you. Because pain speaks. When we become followers of Jesus, we may still have questions. But, oh, this is so key if you're in one of those places. But we ultimately turn back to God like Job. We say with definite authority. I know that my Redeemer lives, and I believe that he is with me. He is my treasure. I was reading this morning in my devotions about Psalms and where David vents and laments to God. And I think the author said something like this, if I'm not mistaken. He said he did something really well in those difficult times. He took his complaints, he took his venting to the one who could help, who could solve the issue. We a lot of times take it out and down to everybody else, but let's take it to Almighty God. You can turn anything up towards him, and you're going to the right source because he's with me. He's with you. He's not alone. Got it? Take it up. Turn it up. Sometimes we just let it out. No, get it out and up. We talked about that recently. This is God confidence that rises up and expresses. I believe we can say these kind of things. These are declarations of faith. You were with me in the pain. You are with me now. You will never leave me and forsake me. I know that because the Bible says in Deuteronomy, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Hebrews 13:15, it talks about contentment. And then it goes on to say, being content where you are with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So that's Old and New Testament, wall to wall. As we think about this, I just want you to consider Jesus. There are so many characters and stories in the Bible about pains and hardships, but they're all moving. But let's just think about Jesus, and we just passed through the Easter season, and you know that he was a sinless son of God, but he was falsely accused, and he was sentenced to be flogged and crucified, stripped and beaten and tortured, crown of thorns on his head, forced to carry his cross all the way to Calvary, placed on that cross, nailed to it, a sign, King of the Jews. He was mocked, he was spit upon. The creation of the world was mocking the one who created and sustained all. He suffered, great, Jesus did, emotional and physical pain. I mean, just beyond description, authors and scholars tell us that what we see, it doesn't even begin to do justice to what he really went through. But I'll tell you more than that, we can't begin to imagine the spiritual suffering he endured for us because he carried and bore the sins of humanity on his soul, on his shoulders. Can you imagine that? I mean, come on. We're overwhelmed carrying our own sin, and he carried all of ours to the cross to provide a solution for our sin forever. But he was God. He was fully God, and he was fully man. Matthew 27 points out that Jesus said, I'll just pick up the end of verse 46. He said with a loud voice in the midst of his suffering, my God, why have you abandoned me? So Jesus was experiencing things that we know and excruciating suffering and loneliness. He understands. And he was referring on the cross to Psalm 22 where it says, and you ought to read that entire, it's called the Messianic Psalm, but my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from me when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. But he's still declaring that God is with me. You hear me, your presence, that changes everything. The verses are wonderful, but I'm gonna skip that. I'll trust that you can read that on your own. But I just would say quickly that Jesus was pointing everyone witnessing his death on the cross because he was a teacher. This was a well-known passage if they'd been schooled in any way, shape, or form. And he would recite the first line of something and they knew what was to come. And I just want to tell you this quickly, that right there in living color, this prophecy he was saying, this is being fulfilled right before your eyes, right now in living colors. I am the one, you and I. We're the generations yet unborn. This was not Jesus questioning God's presence. It was a proclamation of the goodness and presence of God in the middle of darkness. That's what I'm talking about, a treasure in the darkest hour of humanity. There would be no darkness of a tomb, a grave, able to contain the treasure of his resurrection power that is now available to each one of us. And so Jesus died, he was buried, he rose from the grave, so we can have life and know his presence with us, not just when we get to heaven in the sweet by and by, but here and now, every single day. Have you been aware of his presence this week? Well, he didn't talk to me. Let's go back to that. Well, there's a lot of times when Dixie and I take long drives and we say very little to each other while we're driving, but still there's the powerful dynamic of the presence. Are you with me on that? So don't think for a minute that he's not with you, because that's not what the Bible says. He is. Look for him. Look for his activity. Well, I want to wrap it up. Let's go back to Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Whatever, however trouble may be defined. I've been trying to get this. I want you to take this away today. God is present. He's close to those who are brokenhearted and those whose spirits are crushed. We read that earlier. God brought you here to understand and embrace this truth of how and why Horatio Spafford could write such a song, pen such lyrics in a dark night of the soul. Listen, you are not here. If you'll never come back again, if you never tune in again, you're not here, you're not tuning in by accident today. This is no mere coincidence as the world defines it and understands it. I forget where I saw this, but somebody wrote that coincidence, by the way, is simply God choosing to remain anonymous. Don't you like that? He likes to be anonymous. The only way, please hear me, the only way to be able to truly sing and say, "It is well with my soul," is to go to the cross and say Y2J, yes to Jesus. It's just not agreeing with everything he did. You're agreeing with him that he carried the weight of my sin, your sin, our sin. It's personal, you understand? Saying, not just I believe in you, I believe there's a God, but I believe you. I'm taking you at your word. There we confess and repent and turn from our old way, turn to new life. This new life will bring unspeakable and unshakable, a foundation of joy that is not circumstantial. God never intended our joy level on the dipstick of joy to be measured by our circumstances where we find ourselves today. Hey, he's with you. What more could you ever want? He is near. His presence is here. What more could you ever want? Listen to what the Bible says, and I'm done. Here's the qualification for baptism. It's not a Nazarene thing. It's a biblical thing, huh? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we come to the sacrament of baptism that we love to celebrate. Baptism is a celebration of praying and saying Y2J, and therefore knowing all is well deep in your soul, and nothing can take away that joy because you have his eternal presence living where? Not just around you, in the beauty of all that he's created on a sunny day like this, but he is living in you with the resurrection power of his presence. You are not alone. That's why we as the body of Christ, we have to represent Jesus and come alongside those who are hurting with our presence, not our clever words. We're just there because in so doing, we're representing him. Amen.